Amen. He is faithful. He's more than enough. More than enough. I wonder if we believe that today. That he's more than enough. More than enough. Amen. Amen. Won't you pray with me? Lord God, we come today in worship and adoration of you because of who you are. You're the great God and you're the great healer. You are our portion. Lord, we have many pursuits in life. Those of us that are gathered here today, but your word, Lord, in more than one way, lets us know that you are and you are to be our greatest pursuit. You are our portion. You are the beginning and the ending of our lives. Help us to fix our eyes on you. Help us to trust you, to trust in you. May our hope be in you. Lord, not in what we can do, not in what others can do, not in what the doctors can do, oh God, but in you and what you can do. For you speak and it's done. You decree it and it is. We thank you that there is nothing impossible for you. And Lord, we may have faced some impossibilities in our lives, and there are people here today who face some impossibilities. But Lord, your word says, is anything too hard for the Lord? There's nothing too hard for you. Lord, your kingdom come, your will be done on this earth, in our lives, in this place. And Lord, help us. As we read in our responsive reading today, Lord, help us to rest in you, to find our resting place in you. Not to doubt, but to believe in you, and whatever the outcome might be, that our confidence, our belief is you. Lord, would you develop that faith, that trust, that hope, that assurance in you, creating us clean hearts, renew the right spirit within us, the spirit as sons and daughters of the true and living God, and people who know their God, and people who know your ways, and people who walk by faith and not by sight, not by how we feel and what we think or what people say. Lord, make us a people who live for your glory, for your praise, not to listen to the dictates of the world, not to be caught up in the philosophies of this age, the things that are swiftly passing away. God, help us to love you with all our hearts and all our minds, all our soul and all our strength. May that be real in us and in the lives of our family and those that we have responsibility over, oh God. Lord, thank you for your forgiveness, for us drifting away from you, for us trusting in anything but you, for us putting things and people above you. God, thank you that you are a great forgiver, the great lover of our soul. Lord, may you be exalted today. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. For Lord, I recognize that I have nothing to say except you give me your word and allow me to speak your word. Help me not to veer off for your glory, for the benefit of your people. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Turn with me, if you would, to the book of Ruth. We'll circle back. Children are leaving for children's hour. They would rather hear Sister Banks than me. You all, some of you probably would too. Amen. We'll read a couple of verses and I'll continue with our reading as we press on. Ruth, chapter 1. Beginning at verse 6. When she heard in Moab that the Lord had come to the aid of his people by providing food for them, Naomi and her daughters-in-law prepared to return home from there. With her two daughters-in-law, she left the place where she had been living and set out on the road that would take them back to the land of Judah. Amen. You may be seated. I'm gonna put that on. Yeah, put it on now.
You know, I think a lot of people are waiting on God to change the circumstance to really be truly content in the Lord Jesus. But if you're not truly content in what Jesus has already done for you, you do not know what he's really done for you. And that has set me free. And that has given me a platform to believe in miracles, but at the same time, not have to wait for miracles to happen before my joy in Jesus is true and full. Growing up in church, you know, every Sunday, singing that song, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. You know, to believe that God loves us requires a lot of faith. Because I had a lot of questions. If God loved me, then why did he let me be born this way? If God can do all miracles and anything that I ask, he can do it, then why doesn't he give me arms and legs when I ask him to relieve me of my pain? I wanted to know the answer. I actually felt that God, for some reason, wasn't listening. For some reason, didn't answer my prayer. And I was starting to think that he wasn't real. What was so, really difficult to get through were the years between ages 8 and 12. I was actually the first special needs child to be integrated into a mainstream school. Being the only one with no arms and no legs, of course, and in a wheelchair, I had a lot of unwanted attention, feeling depressed, feeling alone. And at age 10, I actually tried to commit suicide by drowning myself in 6 inches of water in my family bathtub. After a whole day of being bullied and teased, I just didn't want to live anymore. By the grace of God, on the third time I rolled over into my family bathtub, I saw my mum and my dad crying at my grave. I saw that pain that I would leave behind, and I decided to stay. But I went through depression, because no one could heal my heart. No money, no amount of friends, no amount of education, or things that I quote-unquote needed to get through my daily life. It just couldn't heal my heart. Finally, at age 15, God answered my prayer. It was when I read John chapter 9. A man was born blind, born with a disability that no one could actually explain. And that sort of sounded familiar to me. People asked Jesus, why was this man born blind? And Jesus said it was done so that the works of God would be revealed through him. And faith came over me. Hearing of the word produces faith. It is a gift. It is not a focus that you can muster up inside. It is a gift given from God when you hear the promises through his word. And that changed my life. He healed my heart, and now I can be an instrument in his hand to let people know, as a miracle, seeing his strength perfected in my weakness that would have otherwise been most powerful. It's more powerful seeing a man without arms and legs smiling than someone who got their miracle. What about for the people who didn't get their miracle? And for anyone who's watching right now who thinks that God doesn't have a purpose and what can God ever do with me? Well, look what God did with me. If God can use a man without arms and legs to be his hands and feet, there is not one person watching this program where God can't use their broken pieces too.
Now I want to quote Romans 8:28, where it says, all things come together for the good for those who love him. You know, I thought that the greatest burden in my life was my circumstance. It is not. The greatest burden in your life is not your circumstance. The greatest burden in your life is you not being able to see your life clearly through God's eyes, knowing that he knows that he's going to be with you and he's going to pull you through, that all things come together for the good. Even the worst part of your life up to this point, God is so big, so mighty, so gracious that he can turn it into some good.
If I was born without arms and legs, and God did not give me arms and legs miraculously for one soul, bring it on.
Amen. Amen. A couple of weeks back, we started this series of messages from the book of Ruth. And really the context was women, I was thinking about women, women of destiny, but it's people in general. It's all of us. All of us. And the message for all of us is for today is rise up. God ain't finished with you yet. I don't know where you are. I ask the question of myself and ask the question of you. What's your disability? What's my disability? What's keeping you down? What's preventing you from moving forth physically, emotionally, mentally? I think the message that I hear from Nick is that no matter what we've gone through, no matter what issues we face in life, with God at the center of it all, it does not and it should not keep you down. It should not. You know, and I think about, and I'll throw this in on the side and quickly move on. I think about some of the grumbling and complaining and whatnot that I do, and then I look at people like that, and I have to ask the Lord for forgiveness. I really do. And I think we all may need to do that. We need to hear, really hear what the Lord is saying to us. Jesus Christ is real, and he is, and he came, and he died, and he rose. And if God is sovereign and he allows certain things to come into our lives, he knows all about that. He knew about that before he created us. And could he have taken them away? No doubt. But there's a purpose. There's a plan. He has a destiny for us. Has a destiny for you. He has a destiny for me. And with all of our disabilities, God wants us. And he is able to help us to fulfill that destiny today. We want to live by faith. We want to live by faith, live with hope in the true and living God and seeing the destiny that he has for us carried out. And remember that it's not just for us. It's for his glory first and foremost. It's for our good, but it's also for the benefit of others. I think often we forget that, but it is. Rise up. God is not finished with you yet. Point one, rise up in spite of being knocked down. Anybody ever been knocked down? Anybody down and out right now? Anybody got something going on that you say, man, Lord, could you have done it a different way? Rise up. It's time to rise up in spite of being knocked down. You remember what happened in Naomi's life. Naomi was married to Elimelech. They had two kids. There was a famine in the land. Elimelech made the decision to leave Bethlehem, his hometown, and go to Moab, which was a good distance away from them. He did that thinking that was better for his family instead of staying there in his homeland. Maybe it was a good thing, maybe it was a mistake. Well, to Naomi, it was very painful for her because in the process of them being there, her husband died and her boys died. And so she was left empty. She was left with a lot of pain. She was hurting. She was struggling. She had a lot going on inside because of the circumstances that had taken place in her life, that being the loss of those that she was closest to. But verse 6 tells us that the tide began to turn. And it says, when she heard in Moab that the Lord had come to the aid of his people, she got up with her daughter-in-laws, and she prepared to go back home. And I asked the question as I was thinking through this, thinking back on verses 1 through 5 and thinking ahead to verses 6 through really the end of the chapter. And for us to think about together, what was Naomi's response to life? What was her response to life? I think we need to think about that. And really the question is, what was her response to God? Because if God is sovereign, and he is, if he's in control of everything, and he is, then the real question is, what was her response to God? When life happens to us, it's really, what's our response to God? What was her response to God after the loss of her husband and her boys? When she was left alone without the people that she loved the most, people who she was closest to. What was her response to in the midst of facing a future without the love and protection of a husband and of her sons? Well, the Bible tells us her response. The Bible says that Naomi got up. Naomi rose. She made a decision to rise up out of the ashes of her life and move forward. At this point, Naomi was the leader of her home. She had no man in the home. She became the leader, and she made the decision to leave the land that had given her plenty of food, but, as we have seen, left her heart famished. Famished. But she didn't sit around moping in the place of despair. She did not. She could have. The text doesn't tell us that Naomi tried to figure out why it all happened, but don't we do that? Don't we try to figure it all out? You and me, we ask God, why? Why, Lord? Why did this happen? Lord, why did I do that? That was stupid, and now I'm in this situation. Lord, why did this come on me? Why did this come in this person's life that I love and care about? But we don't find anywhere in the text, and maybe it's there, but we can't read into it. But it doesn't say that Naomi tried to figure it out, because there's some things in life that you just can't figure it out. Have you figured that out yet? Just can't figure out. Just don't have answers to them. It just is. That's just the way it is. Only God knows. And she didn't shake her fist at God. God did not give her a reason why the men in her life died at the prime times in their lives. God didn't give her an answer to that. It simply happened. It was life. And Naomi had to accept it or reject it. But she accepted it. And she decided to move on. She had to get up. She had to arise and move on to the place where the Lord was leading her in the moment. In the moment. And that's what she did. Naomi looked forward, not backward. She did not allow the pain to hold her hostage. And that's the lesson from that church that I want to leave with you. I think if we're going to move forward in life, if we're going to reach the destiny that God has for us, where Jesus is the center of it all, do this. Put a stake in the ground today. Do not allow the pain to hold you hostage. If you allow the pain, and I allow the pain in our lives to hold us hostage, you will never move on. You will never become all that God created you to become. And we have a lot of pain in our lives, don't we? We have a lot of pain. You have pain that you haven't even shared with anybody. You got stuff that is going on or that is going on in your life that nobody knows but you and maybe those that are closest to you. But if we can take the lesson out of Naomi's life, do not allow the pain to hold you hostage. We don't have to remain in our places of pain. There is a time when a decision has to be made, just like Naomi had to make a decision. She had to make a decision whether she was going to stay there or whether she was going to move on. There's a time when a decision has to be made to rise up and get up out of the place of mourning and move on with the life that God places before you. You can't change the past, but you surely can move forward. And I hear the Lord saying to me and to you, that we need to have that mindset to get up. To get up and move out of our places of famine, out of a place of mourning, whether it's physical, whether it's spiritual, whether it's emotional, whether it's relational, it's time to rise up. There is a time to move on and cease from dwelling in the land of despair. A time to get up and cease from laying around and moping over the painful circumstances of our lives and having perpetual pity parties. Now, there's a time to rise up, time to get up. If you stay there might be too many memories. Stuff keeps going through your head. Too much pain in the place of mourning to make it bearable. When I was in campus ministry, there was someone who was going through a divorce. And he said, and we were talking, his wife was against him, kid was against him, and he was in a house all by itself. And he said, it feels like I'm living in a morgue. Feels like I'm living in a morgue, place of death. But the Lord gives us the opportunity to move out of the morgue, move out of the place of death, and into places where there is abundant life. He saves us. He saves us. How does the Lord lift us up out of those places of pain and enable us to rise up out of the ashes of despair? Well, look at what Naomi heard. Verse 6 says, when she heard in Moab that the Lord was doing something. In Bethlehem, there was a famine in the land. But she heard that God had visited his people. She heard that God was allowing the land to be fertile again and for food to grow. The reason that Naomi arose and moved on was because she heard that the Lord had done something for his people. The Lord had visited his people. And she moved on from where she was to the place that she heard God was working. Her motivation for moving on was the Lord. It wasn't that she mustered up the strength within herself. It wasn't that she had some positive thinking. No, it was that she heard that God was up to something. And she saw him working. And she moved to where he was working. You see, the faith of Naomi, the faith that she had to move on, to return home to the land of Bethlehem, was created when she heard about the Lord. Her motivation for moving on was a word about God. Her move was not a blind leap of faith based on how she felt. No, she didn't muster up the feelings for it because she was going through. No, her faith was not a belief in what she believed would happen just because she believed it. It wasn't faith in faith. No, it was based on God and what he was already doing in her homeland and what she was able to clearly hear about God. And I think there's some insight on Naomi's perspective about the Lord. You see, though she was in pain and she felt the pain of losing those closest to her, Naomi did not become hardened to the Lord. She did not become hardened to the Lord. She was still sensitive to the Lord, still keenly aware of his involvement in the lives of his people, because when she heard what he was doing, it caused her to rise up. And she did not become bitter toward God to the point of not wanting to have anything to do with him, because if she was, she never would have got up and went back home. She did not decide to stay in the land of the pagans because of the pain which the Lord had allowed to be in her life. She didn't stay there. No, Naomi ran to where God was working in the midst of her loss, of her pain. She ran toward God instead of running away from him, as some of us so often do. She moved forward with her life by faith in the Lord. In the valley of despair, Naomi didn't turn a deaf ear to the voice of God. No, she didn't. And of course, there's a lesson in that for us. You know, when we're in the valley of despair, when we're going through, when we're struggling, when we're in pain, how do we get up? How do we keep going? How do you keep going? Well, when you're a child of God, the Lord, we think about the fact that it's the Lord who enables us to rise up when we hear his word and believe his word in our places of pain, in our places of pain. Thought about Isaiah 61:1-3. I wanted to read that. Isaiah 61, where Isaiah writes the gospel according to Isaiah. He writes, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. And if that sounds familiar from the New Testament, it is. Jesus said those words, these words were fulfilled in him, in the gospel. Because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. This is the ministry of Jesus. To bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn. That's the ministry of Jesus. And provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. That's what the Lord does to those who hear, who really hear the message, who really listen to what he's saying. He turns our ashes into beauty. He turns our pain into praise. Naomi acted on what she heard from the Lord. What she heard about God caused her to move, to get up from where she was, because she believed that God was working and that if she went back, that was going to be a place where God would work with her too. And you know, that's truth is replete throughout Scripture. Those who believe the Lord take action. They move forward. They listen to God and they obey God, and it does something in them. And we need to understand that the faith which is spoken of here, because we're really talking about faith in God, the faith which is spoken of here has as its object Jesus Christ himself. But we hear the message from the Word of God. Romans 10:17 says, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. The word of Christ. Naomi heard the message. We hear the message about Jesus. We believe, and God does something in us. If nothing is happening in us, maybe it's because we haven't really believed. If we're still in our place of pain, and I'm not saying the pain necessarily goes away, but you don't live in despair. Maybe we really haven't heard or believed the message. God gives us faith for living. He gives us faith to keep living, faith to keep going on instead of being amongst the living dead. Faith for living is the faith to keep moving on when life knocks you down, when life gets tough, when the pain is so deep that you feel like you can't take another step. This kind of real life, everyday faith goes back to belief in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, because it has everything to do with it. See, Jesus is alive. We said that on Easter, right? Well, still, we're in May now. He's still alive. Jesus is alive. And since he got up from the grave, we can rise up from the pain that we experience too. That's the power of the resurrection. It's not just for when we die and Jesus comes up. It's for that little dash in between as well. Oh, Jesus allows us to get up. He's our Savior. Being saved is not just being saved from hell. It is that, but it's much more than that. You go through and I go through, and the Lord saves us from that. He helps us to keep going on. He doesn't shelter us from the pains in life. Some people teach that that's what Christianity is, that God will shelter you from the pains of life. I've told you before, and I'll tell you again, stop listening to that garbage, because it's garbage. It's not the truth of Scripture. The truth of Scripture is that we go through just like everybody else. We experience pain and suffering and deep heartache. Some of it as a result of our own sin, some of it because it's just life. It happens to us. We don't know why it came or where it came from. It just comes. But we look to Christ. We look to his resurrection to enable us to rise up in the midst of all of that and to keep living. Jesus got up, and we can rise up from the pain that we experience. See, the foundation of faith is Jesus. It's Jesus. And as we hear the message about him and from him and believe that message, what happens is that we acquire faith to walk through the valleys of the shadow of death in our lives. See, the question is, have we really heard the message of Christ? Yeah, I think we want a Jesus who fixes up everything, like right now, Lord, fix it up right now. Oh, I get saved and everything's going to be fixed up. No more pain, no more sorrow, no more heartache. I don't hear scripture like that. And we don't see it in Naomi's life. And we see women who went through, but yet who got up. And who kept living. We want that type of faith developed in us. The faith to believe that he sets the captives free. And faith to believe that he will lift us up out of the valleys of despair. We want that type of faith. Jesus is the reason for faith. And he's the cause of our deliverance. Can he heal? No doubt. Just like our video said, he prayed, God, give me some arms and some legs. But he didn't. Could he have? No doubt about it. But it did not stop the man from living. He still fulfilled the destiny and is fulfilling the destiny that God had for him. Life lesson. And the Lord desires this of us. Just like with Naomi. Naomi rose up and she ran to the Lord. Run to the Lord in the midst of the struggles of life. If you want to move forward, you got to get this. And we have to live like this. When we're going through, when stuff is happening and we don't understand it and it's painful and we can't fix it and we want to fix it. I'm a man, I want to fix stuff. I want to fix people. I want to fix myself. When you go through, when you're experiencing pain, do like Naomi did. You hear something, run to the Lord. Run to the Lord in the midst of your struggle. Don't, if you wait until God, if God fixes, well, when God fixes it up, then I'll be able to get up and I'll be able to rejoice and be glad. Well, what if he doesn't? What if he doesn't? What if, like Nick, the Lord says, well, this is just something you got to live with for the rest of your days. What if God said that to you? God wants us to be sensitive to him in the midst of the pain. And not to allow the pain to harden our hearts towards him. So easy to blame God and become hard towards God, isn't it? Yeah, it is. But he wants us, as a result of that pain, to move closer to him. You say, no, no, that's no. And the Lord says, yes. Trust me. Even though I've let this come into your life, trust me. I love you still. Will you love me still? He says, cry if you must. Hey, you got to cry. Go ahead. Let it all hang out. God can handle that. But cry before the throne of grace. Lord, I'm coming to your throne of grace and I'm crying out to you. Allow yourself to experience the pain of the moment. Don't deny it. Being a follower of Christ doesn't mean, again, that you don't experience pain. We suffer, and often more than people who don't know Christ. Allow yourself to experience that moment. It's painful, God. It hurts. But experience it with the consciousness that Jehovah Roi, the God who sees, that he is watching you and he is with you. He is with you. He's the God who sees where you are right now in this moment. And he is with you in the midst of whatever you're going through. So you run to him. You run to him. I had this key thought I wanted to share with you before I run on. Naomi had a hard life, didn't she? Yeah, she had a hard life. Lost husband, lost the boys, away from her homeland. She had a hard life. She experienced unimaginable bitterness in her heart and soul, but in spite of that, she was selfless. She was selfless. You know what it means to be selfless. When you're selfless, you're not just thinking about you. You're able to give out to other people. Naomi, even though she had a hard knocks life to the maximum degree, listen now, she was selfless. She was a selfless woman. Well, where do you get that from? Well, to look at verse 8. So they start heading back home, walking on the road to Bethlehem. Then Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, go back. Go back, each of you. Go back. Go back to your mother's home. May the Lord show you kind. May the Lord show kindness to you as you have shown to your dead and to me. May the Lord grant that each of you will find rest in the home of another husband. Then she kissed them, and they wept aloud and said to her, we will go back with you to your people. But Naomi said, return home, my daughters. Why should you come with me? Am I going to have any more sons who could become your husbands? Return home, my daughters. I am too old to have another husband. Even if I thought there was still hope for me, even if I had a husband tonight and then gave birth to sons, would you wait until they grew up? Would you remain unmarried for them? No, my daughters, no. No, that doesn't make sense. Go back. Live your lives. And then she says, it is more bitter for me than for you, because the Lord's hand has gone out against me. Do you see the selflessness of Naomi? You know, although she had experienced the bitterness that comes with the death of a spouse and both her boys, yes, she had a bitter experience, but again, she wasn't bitter toward God. You know, death causes that pain, that bitter sense in your soul. But even in the midst of that, she thought more of the needs of her daughters-in-law than she did her own needs. She did not become more self-centered and turn away from people. She had experienced great loss, and she had no expectation of having a husband and a family again because of her age. She said, I'm too old to have kids. I'm too old to even be thinking about a husband, but I'm thinking about you. I'm not holding on to you. She could have been self-centered. She could have held on to her daughters-in-law and said, you all just stay with me. I need you. She developed a relationship with them. They had become daughters to her. She had become close to them and dependent on them, but she said no. No. She let them go. She let them go. And she encouraged them to start a new life. Start a life. You are young enough to have kids. Start a life. Go back to your mom's home. Go back to your mom's home. Look for husbands. And she had this thought towards them, concern about them, even though her life was hanging in the balance. She was selfless. See, Naomi had a bitter life, yeah, but she was not bitter towards the Lord. She still saw the Lord. You see that in the text, too? She still saw the Lord. She saw him as the one who extended loving kindness. She said to them, may the Lord show kindness towards you. May he show his loving kindness, the same kindness that he shows towards his people, his hesed, the love that he has for the people of God. May he show you that kind of love. You see what she was doing? She was pointing them to the Lord. She said, may the Lord show you that kindness. May the Lord grant that each of you will find rest in the home of another husband. Naomi was thinking about them and not just about herself, like some of us do when we're in pain. See, Naomi didn't allow her pain to keep her from pointing people to the Lord. You ever see people like that? You know, some people, I visit people in the hospital. And sometimes people have pain is pain. It hurts and it deals with us. You know, but sometimes some people handle pain differently. Some people do become very self-centered and very selfish and very prickly, porcupine-ish, and push people away. And we got to be able to go through those emotions. But some people are like that all the time when they're in that. Well, Naomi said, no, I'm looking to the Lord. She looked to the Lord and she pointed people to the Lord. She didn't allow her pain to keep her from seeing the needs of other people. Some way, somehow, she had that relationship, that perspective, that faith in God that allowed her to look up and to bestow a blessing on her daughters-in-law and be able to release them. Her daughters-in-law, they were pagan. They had other gods up to this point. But she communicated to them the reality of the true and living God and said, may the Lord bless you. May you not believe Naomi was praying for her daughters-in-law that they would come to know Christ and come to know his dealings with people. Their blessings ultimately come from the true and living God. And if we read on, Naomi's bitter experience did lead to the salvation of Ruth, right? It did. Read on quickly, and I don't have time to go into it deeply, but we'll pick up a little bit next time. In verse 14, at this they wept. So she said, no, go on back. But at this they wept again. Then Orpah kissed her mother-in-law goodbye. But Ruth clung to her. So one said, I'm taking you up on your offer. I'm going back. But the other one, Ruth, clung to Naomi. But then Naomi in verse 15, Naomi said, look, said Naomi, your sister-in-law is going back to her people and her gods. Go back with her. Go back to your people and to your gods. Go, I'm letting you go. I'm letting you go. But Ruth replied, don't urge me to leave you or turn back from you. Where you go, I will go. And where you stay, I will stay. Listen, your people will be my people and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die and there I will be buried. May the Lord, she calls him Yahweh, may the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if anything but death separates you and me. Then verse 18, when Naomi realized that Ruth was determined to go with her, she stopped urging her. She said, this girl has given her life to the Lord. See, it wasn't just about giving her life to Ruth. That was part of it. I mean, to Naomi. Because she said, I'm stuck to you. I'm staying with you. I love you, but I love the Lord. She said, may the Lord deal with me. Your God will be my God. Your Lord will be my Lord. Don't you know Naomi had influence on Ruth's life? Yeah, she did. Listen. Our pains lesson. Our pains and suffering in life can, and really they should, lead us to develop a closer relationship with the Lord. In fact, everything that we do should do that. Because it's about, life is about the Lord. It's about Christ. And it's about our relationship with him. And everything that we do should lead us to him, lead us to a closer relationship with him. We do what we do for the glory of God. Everything that happens, including the pain and suffering and heartaches that we go through, should lead us to develop a closer relationship with the Lord. And we can't do that on our own. It's the Lord working in us, who helps us, who enables us to do that. Everything that happens, our pains and sufferings in life, can lead us to develop a closer relationship with the Lord and enable us to lead others to the Lord as well. That's what happened in Naomi's life in regards to Ruth. In regards to Ruth. I want to say, rise up, because he's not finished with you yet. I think about this very real fact, by way of closing this all out, that God used, and again, we have to begin with the end in mind, right? The end of the story, chapter 4. I think about the very real fact that God used the famine in Bethlehem, even Elimelech leaving his homeland, which maybe he shouldn't have done, according to some, but it's all a part of God's plan. But God used the famine in Bethlehem to bring Naomi and her family to Moab, her boys to Moab, so that she could return at this particular time with one, who was Ruth. You know, the book is entitled The Book of Ruth, and we don't really know who the writer is. Most scholars think that more than likely it could have been Samuel. It was written at the time of the Judges. But the book is really about Ruth becoming part of the lineage of Jesus Christ. And God, how he, Romans 8:28, how he calls all things to work together. And with all that pain and the loss of her husband and the loss of her kids, and how they left home, and then she heard, and then she came back, and he used all of that. In the midst of all of that, Ruth comes to know Christ, know God, know the Lord, and they come back together. And when they come back together, a new chapter starts in their lives, in Ruth's life. God wasn't finished with Naomi. He wasn't finished with Ruth. There was pain involved in all of that. There was heartache involved in all of that. But he wasn't finished yet. Just think if she wouldn't have gotten up. See, the story wasn't just about Naomi and Elimelech and the boys. Wasn't. No, it was God writing the story. Because he had his greater plan for his glory and for the salvation of the world. We forget that, and we don't put that together with our lives, with our own lives. And I want to say this, that your pain is not just about you. I want to say it gently but firmly and very straightforwardly. Your pain, my pain, is not just about you. Now, just think with me. Could it be? Just could it be? Because I'm processing this not just for you, but for me too. I don't know what's ahead for Tony Banks and his family. Your pain is not just about you. Could it be that God uses the sufferings of our lives to draw us closer to himself in order to move us from the famine of our self-centered hearts to the abundance of a Christ-centered relationship. Because that's what he wants, right? Life is about Christ and us having a relationship with him. Could it be that God uses all of that to draw us out of us, closer to him, into a Christ-centered relationship, but also to use us to reach out to others so that they can be reconciled to him as well? Naomi's pain wasn't just about Naomi. No, that caused them to go. Ruth to get connected and Ruth to come back with her. I think about 2 Corinthians 5:18 through 19, the message of reconciliation. God was reconciling the world to himself through Jesus Christ. It was through the suffering of our Savior that we receive reconciliation. Suffering brought about reconciliation. It was through the pain of the loss of a husband and sons that brought Naomi back to Bethlehem, not alone, but with Ruth. It is also through the struggles and pains that we experience in life that bring us, that can bring us closer to the Lord if we hear the message. And I say can, because there's a question mark, because some people reject it. Many don't draw near to the Lord because they don't hear the real message and don't believe the message that God is calling them into relationship with him. We want God to fix our problems. People want God to bless them with abundance and protect them from pain and heartache. But that's not real life, is it? That's not real life. And I think when we learn to rest, Hebrews says rest. We rest in the Lord. And that can mean resting with whatever the Lord, whatever hand we've been dealt. There's an abundance of pain that you may have experienced in your life or that you may be experiencing in your life. The question is, how are you going to respond? And how am I going to respond to that pain? Are we going to let it keep it there and let it keep us there in the ashes? Or are we going to hear the voice of the Lord and the Lord saying, rise up, as we go to his word? How are you going to respond? Are you going to run from the Lord? Or are you going to run to the Lord? This question for you is a question for me. Because if you haven't experienced anything, you may be experiencing something, and to be sure, you are going to experience something. And this question will loom large. How are we going to respond? We see Jesus as the one who enables us to praise in the midst. Or are we going to let the pain keep weighing us down? Will you allow your pain to cause you to come to your Savior? Or will you remain in the morgue, surrounded by death? Read this verse many times. Now I want to read it one more time and I'm done. Romans 8:32. He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him over for us all. Delivered him over to what? Delivered him over to death. Delivered him over to death. How will he not also along with him freely give us all things? What do you need today? What do you need? What do you need from the Lord in order for you to rise up? Hear what the word of God is saying. God will give it to you. That's his promise. He said he will freely give us all things. All things. Won't you bow with me in prayer? And maybe you're here today and you haven't taken that first step of faith. You know, this is a message for those who follow Christ. And for those who don't know Christ, it's a message for you to accept him. The Bible says if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That's the first step of faith. Saying, you're Lord. Jesus is Lord over my life. And I believe he died for my sins. I know that he rose again, and I give myself, my life to him as Lord and Savior of my life. Bible says repent. Repent of running away from him. Run to him. Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord, that through Christ you enable us to rise up and move forward. Thank you for lifting us up out of the ashes of our lives. Thank you, Father, that in the midst of the pains of life that we experience, you are with us. You're there with us in the trenches. You don't leave us alone. Lord, help us to rest in the fact that you don't always remove the pain. You don't always remove the sorrow, the heartaches, the challenges that we face in life. You don't always remove those. You are certainly able to. And if it be your will, Lord, we ask you to do that amongst your people today. But Lord, help us even in the midst of that to find rest in you, to trust you, to run to you and not away from you, and to grow in our relationship with you. Spirit of God, help us as we process these things in our minds and in our hearts. Guard us from unbelief. Help us to grow in our faith and our trust in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. If you're here today and you don't know Christ, but you prayed that prayer and you say, I accept Christ as Lord and Savior of my life, you can come and you can give your life to him. Man, woman, boy, or girl. Bible says, whosoever will, let him come. You can come and give your life to Christ. Say, I accept Jesus as Lord of my life. Maybe you've been going to church for a number of years and you've been very religious, but you've never really given your life to Christ. You can come. Say, I give my life to Christ. Maybe you're a Christian and you're without a church home, and the Lord is saying, the Agape Bible Fellowship is where I want you to make your church family. You can come. Say, I give my life to Christ here at the Agape Fellowship. Won't you come? Won't you come? You make any kind of commitment to the Lord, you can come.